Preaching. I really like preaching. And when you're preaching about the inspiration of the word, it's quite a tough thing to preach about. So if I go all over the place, I'm really sorry. But I do sometimes do that. So I'm going to start in an odd spot. Now, when I was teaching in public primary school in Australia, I was astonished. The whole lot of the teachers in a school I was working at all decided it would be a great idea to get their horoscopes read for the year. After all, these are educated people. Now, I believe mankind is wired to believe astrology, or perhaps more accurately, astrology is wired for us to believe it. Astrology is believed by millions of people, and it has survived for thousands of years, even though it has been challenged on both theoretical and experimental grounds to have absolutely no scientific validity or explanatory power at all. But people still believe it. Just the other day, a lady at work told me that she acted a certain way because of her star sign, and that her boyfriend, who was Taurus or something, was stubborn and angry because of his star sign. To me, that just sounds like an excuse to be angry. But their predictions are so accurate. Their predictions are actually so vague and general that they could apply to virtually anyone. You will come into some money. Oh, I got paid this week. The horoscopes we see in different magazines and newspapers are all based on the paths of the sun, the moon, and the major planets about 2,000 years ago. The problem with this is from that time to now, all of their paths of trajectory have moved approximately 30 degrees. What that actually means is your star sign you have today is wrong. The planets are in a different place. That's without the fact that most astrology used in the West is what they call geocentric. That is, it is based on the planets as though they are moving around the Earth, rather than what actually happens, they travel around the sun. Oh dear, whoops. But I suppose the reason that I don't believe in astrology is because, well, could be because my star sign says that I'm naturally skeptical. Yeah, right. When people ask me what sign I was born under, I always say the Hastings Memorial Hospital. And yet people still believe it. What's my point? People believe this, and yet they won't believe in a God. They won't believe that there is a God who wants to connect with his people. You can't reason away God, but if we really want to turn to reason, it would be sensible for an all-powerful, all-knowing, loving God to communicate with us, to show us the best way to live. And how would he do that? One of the main ways is probably the easiest to get information from: the scriptures, the Bible, a book containing even more books, a book that remains the biggest bestseller of all time. But then people say that the Bible contradicts itself. You could then, with good reason, ask them if they've actually read it. The answer generally is no. Someone somewhere told them this. Or they simply lied about reading it. And I'm not really sure why. I mean, one guy once quoted to me that well-known Bible verse, "God helps those that help themselves." Now, you should have seen the surprise when I told him that that is not actually a verse in the Bible. Perhaps he should have tried reading it first too. It's not good enough just to have the Bible. I mean, let's make something up. Or if they've actually read the Bible, they ignore the context or the circumstances in which each part was written. Still others say that the Bible was transferred by word of mouth and therefore has been changed substantially. It's like these people are suggesting that the passing down of the information was something like Chinese whispers. At one end, you have whispered in your ear, God created the earth, but end up with, don't let the purple aliens build pyramids when the zombies attack. Come on. Still others give the impression that ancient copyists changed the biblical texts. One agnostic scholar said, not only do we not have the originals of the Greek manuscripts of the New Testament, we don't have the first copies of the originals. What we have are copies made later, much later. These copies differ from one another in so many places that we don't even know how many differences there are. Christianity is a textually oriented religion whose texts have been changed, surviving only in copies that vary from one another, sometimes in highly significant ways. Could it be that the verses of the New Testament have been corrupted by careless copyists? Actually, these skeptics' claims are completely in error. Let's look at another well-known ancient manuscript and put that up against the New Testament of the Bible. Let's look at the works of Plato. It was written about 400 BC, and there's about 210 surviving copies. There are no known originals that were actually written by Plato. The earliest surviving manuscript was copied in 895 AD, more than 1,200 years after the original documents were written. People to this day believe that this is what Plato actually wrote. Next, we have the New Testament. Its dates of writing were written between 49 and 96 AD, about. There are well over 5,000 surviving portions and fragments of it that remain from a few decades after the original texts were written. That's just a few more than 210. Complete books survive from the second century, less than a century after the books were written. There are also complete manuscripts from the early fourth century, less than three centuries from when the originals were written. The New Testament has not changed significantly in centuries, and nothing essential to the message of Jesus has ever been lost in translation. The only exception to this is for more recent Bibles written by cult members. These are completely disregarded by any recognized language scholars. In fact, many have said that the Bible translated in this way is not scholarly at all, but should be described as dishonest, because they've deliberately ignored specific language translation rules to support their questionable beliefs. Now, the early manuscripts were not just copied once and then tossed aside. They were kept, repeatedly copied, and sometimes used to check later copies. Any variations from the original are a small percentage of the total text. It is believed with certainty that the New Testament is over 92% correct, with some scholars saying it's more like 99%. The overwhelming majority of variances are spelling mistakes and or rearranged words. These differences make no impact on the translation or meaning of the text. Sir Frederick Kenyon wrote, "The interval then between the dates of original composition and the earliest extant surviving evidence, becomes so small as to be in fact negligible. And the last foundation for any doubt that the scriptures have come down to us substantially as they were written has now been removed. Both the authenticity of the general integrity of the books of the New Testament may be regarded as finally established." The New Testament is in fact the best preserved text from the ancient world, better than the writings of Homer, Aristotle, and as I've shown, even Plato. But people still believe what Plato wrote is correct, but the Bible, even with all its considerable superior evidence, is wrong. And then we have the claims that the Bible is nothing more than inspiring literature. A university philosopher once told 1,100 students in a speech that lasted an hour that there is no proof in the Bible that God exists. Really? Doesn't take too long to realize that when reading the Bible that the existence of God is actually taken for granted. Scripture starts with these words, "In the beginning God created." How is the existence of God not in the Bible? Now, when really smart people get together, they always have to make a name for something. And so they call the idea that the Bible is true the doctrine of Scripture. That is the doctrine that the Bible is God's word. Now, a common error is that the Bible contains God's word. Some church denominations do not believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God and that it contains in some areas the word of God. Do you hear what I'm saying? This is the idea that you can go through and pick and choose what you like in order to get to back up your own rules and regulations, so anything that contradicts your interpretation is not inspired. Let's take it a step further. There are others who believe that the whole Bible is true, but many of the things mentioned in it are no longer valid for today. That those things ceased when the last of the apostles died. These include any of the miracles and healings of Jesus or the apostles. If the Bible is inspired by God and it clearly says he never changes, why are parts of it not relevant or true for today? Why? Now, I've not mentioned the Old Testament much, but I believe the whole Bible has value and purpose for us today. So is the Bible just inspiring, or is it inspired? The Bible declares in its, the Bible declares in its own source of inspiration, it comes from God. And it serves a purpose. I'll use the verse Warren quoted in his sermon 2 weeks ago from 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, but I'll use the New Living Translation. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Now, I really like the English Standard Version, though, because instead of the word inspired, it uses a different, more correct translation. Instead of inspired, it says, all scripture is breathed out by God. In the many versions where it says that all scripture is inspired by God, as Warren correctly pointed out, the word inspired in English can mean other things too. But this is actually one word in the Greek meaning all scripture is God-breathed. Just sounds a lot deeper than inspired. There are times that due to translation from language to language that sometimes the meaning doesn't appear to come out quite right in English. And there are also different ways of writing the Bible, either as close to word for word as they can get or more paraphrased translations. In the main, paraphrased versions are good, making reading the Bible easier to understand, but on occasions, some of them take a few liberties and the translators will ease forward their own beliefs on certain things. But most of those do not affect what we consider the most important orthodox beliefs. And we must remember, the first century was a lot different to now. The Bible can be a difficult read if you try and read it like any 21st century book. It really needs to be looked at a little closer to ascertain what some things really mean. For example, let's look at another very famous passage. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Now, most English translations make the words love is look like they are using adjectives to describe love. But actually, in fact, in the original text, this is a verb, like Jesus did for us. We're not just to describe what love is like. We must show love to others. What we are to do love. Perhaps this verse should read, love practices patience. Love practices kindness. Paul was aiming at unloving behavior in the church at Corinth to show that love is the true sign of someone who follows Jesus. Paul didn't just write this chapter so that we could have something poetic sounding to read at weddings and sing about in our worship songs. Before Paul wrote the Love Is passages, he said, but now let me show you a way of life that is best of all. Love is not just another quality that can be tagged onto a list of gifts from God. in 1 Corinthians 12. Love is the very path that leads to exercising your gifts in the way that God intends. This is to be our way of life. Paul said, if I don't have life, then I am nothing. Sorry, if I don't have love, then I am nothing. Good grief. Love is like oxygen. It makes no difference how strong your body is. If you don't have oxygen, you're dead. Ineffective. Useless. Spectacular gifts and radical sacrifice without love are nothing. 1 Corinthians 13 is not calling us to wait until we feel like loving people before we demonstrate love to them. It's telling us to love them now. Loving them now. This is not produced by mankind. All of this can only be God-breathed. But, you know, surely you must ignore those people who you don't get on with. Why love those who don't deserve it? Why love those who are unpleasant? Why love those who hate me? How many times have you complained about someone's lifestyle? How many times have people annoyed you? You know, when they really get on your wick. The Bible says, love them. If God is not the author of the Bible, why bother? Does it matter? If it doesn't, then what the Bible says about itself has no validity. If it doesn't, then the over 300 Old Testament prophecies that Jesus fulfilled are just coincidental. If it doesn't, then all the future events that the Bible speaks of may or may not happen. If it doesn't, then the communion we participate in and the worship songs we just sang have no value. We were just performing rituals. And even more, if it doesn't, then what Jesus did on the cross was pointless. Luke wrote in Acts 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. And Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. The focus of our Christian walk and the ensuing battle is on being baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking the word of God boldly. The word of God that is absolutely 100% real. When Jesus prayed, sanctify them in the truth, your word is truth. Look at what he was saying. Sanctify, to make holy. Our understanding of sanctification is this. When we are saved, we are sanctified. We are made holy. James 4:5 says, do you think the scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate that the Spirit has been placed within us, that the Spirit he has placed within us should be faithful to him, and he gives grace generously. In other versions, it says that he gives grace all the more, or more and more. It is not a completed work. We are continually receiving revelation from the Lord and his word and are growing in grace. Let's take another look at John 17:17. Sanctify them in the truth. Truth means factual, something that is right and good. The Greek word that is translated as truth can also be equally translated into real or reality. God's word is reality. Another English equivalent is the word genuine. God's word is genuine. The root of the Greek word means not concealing, as in something revealed. Luke 8:17-18, for there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even when he thinks he has, will be taken from him. The word listen here literally means hearing with the intent to understand. Are you getting this? Hearing with the intent to understand. If you're going to be sanctified by the truth, continually changed by the word of God, there is something required of you. You must believe that his word is truth and then pay close attention to it with the intent to understanding and then applying it to your life. It requires faith on your part. Faith that this book is what it says and that you are becoming what it says you are. So faith comes from, Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Do you believe this? Can you see that your sanctification, your working out of your own salvation with fear and trembling, is a work of faith? Faith that this is the Holy Spirit-inspired word of God. 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Now, the unveiled faces here is very significant. Paul is contrasting the old covenant with the new covenant. When Moses spoke to the people after speaking to God, he had to veil his face because his face was shining with the glory of God, and this was frightening to the Israelites. As Moses' face reflected God's, that which was reserved for only Moses under the old covenant is made available to all people in the new. And so with unveiled faces, we reflect the glory of the Lord, and so doing are being transformed into his likeness. Wow. The Spirit transforms us, and we become more like Jesus as we grow from glory to glory. The Holy Spirit wrote the word, and we now have the Spirit in us, so he can teach us his word. But even more, he enables us to obey the word from our hearts. This is not legal obedience, but obedience born of love by a son or daughter of the Most High God. Sanctified by truth, sanctified by faith, being changed into his image with ever-increasing glory. What value is the word of God to you? Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The word of God is powerful. It is alive and unchanging. If, as I said before, God never changes, it is just the same with Jesus. He is the living word who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so is the written word of God. It cannot be improved on. The promises contained within the Bible are as valid today as they were when they were written thousands of years ago. It is the word of God that declares God's plans and promises for us. It is the word of God that reveals the future to us. It is the word of God that changes us. And now it's time for you to say, I believe that this is God's word. I believe it is for me. I accept it as mine. Take possession of it in your life today. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said he will not do it? He will not do it, or has he spoken and he will not fulfill it? What does God's word say about you today? How far are you willing to step out in faith to be sanctified by his truth, his word, his promise? Are you willing today to step out in faith and be changed by the word? Will you let revelation come to you through his word? Do you have the faith to plunge forward into God's word and simply accept the truth by faith? The Bible is not the product of God's imagination or man's philosophies. It is not the product of man at all. The author is not man, but God. The breathed out word of God, the inspired word of God. As I said, the word inspiration by scriptural definition means that divine influence of the Holy Spirit upon writers of the scriptures makes their writings verbally infallible. Their writings are the very words of God himself. Matthew 4:4, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Literally, God breathed the words into the writers, and the authors put those words into writing. Each writer retained their own style, but the content of what they wrote came from God. The Bible, therefore, came from God. It is God's method of communicating to mankind and contains the truths that we need to know about God and how to relate to him. As I've stated, the Bible can be a difficult book to read. Look at Jesus. He spoke in parables. He did not intend his statements to carry all of their meaning on the surface. Matthew 13:11-13. He, Jesus, replied, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. That is why I use these parables, for they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. The Bible is full of amazing truth, and he wants to help you read it with understanding. It is time now to savor its life-giving wonder, to take on, with the Holy Spirit's help, its vitalizing power, but then to pass it on to others, to show that his word, the Bible, is true and relevant to them too. From cover to cover, the Bible shows us his unbelievable, amazing grace, God's amazing love for us. It's because he loved us so much that he gave his only son to take on what no normal man could take, the entire sin of the world, to give us the opportunity to be with him forever in his love. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your living word, for preserving it for us. Place it in our hearts and enlighten us with your amazing wisdom. Lord God, show us what you would have us do for you to start following you or continue our walk with you. Lord, don't